Okay, guys, here's the thing. I just received in the mail my care package from our new friends of the podcast, Hero Soap Company. And I've got to tell you, I have never smelled anything like this in my entire life. First of all, the packaging they give you is amazing. The soap comes in black packaging and it just looks really ominous and manly. But of course, it has nothing to do with the product itself. I'm holding in my hand what they call grit scrub that is going to make you feel like you're brand new when you wash with it. And all I can say about the way this smells is if there was such thing as new car smell for humans, this would be it. I'm imagining I am going to smell like brand new after I use this. And I think that is incredibly cool. I don't know how they formulated the scent of this, but I can't even describe it other than what I just told you. It's amazing. It's so inherently manly. Now, the soap I have in front of me, I have lime and sea salt, peppermint plus cool, and something called rosemary plus eucalyptus. And, you know, I'm thinking rosemary, I'm going to smell like a chicken dinner or something. Forget about it. How do I describe how these soaps smell? I would imagine when you're done taking a shower, it's going to remind you of a job well done. I don't know if you've ever walked into a freshly painted room or just tuned your motorcycle up just right and it smells like synthetic motor oil and WD-40, or you went out and mowed the lawn and it smells like freshly cut grass. These things don't smell exactly like any of that, but they give me that same vibe, that same feeling inside as when I experience the aroma of a job well done or something manly, a particularly manly project that I'm working on or just completed. Man, it really appeals to your senses. This is really cool. My man Lucas over at Hero Soap Company is a genius. This is amazing. You guys should try this. Go to mountaintoppodcast.com/hero, H-E-R-O, and get a load of this. Use Mountain10 as your coupon code and you will not be disappointed. This is something every man should experience. And I tell you what, I can't wait to find out how Emily responds to this. It's going to be epic. Okay, guys, enjoy the show. I got a really good one for you today with a great guest who's a new friend of mine. The subject is adulting, and you're probably in for the theater of the unexpected. Stay tuned.
Live from the mist enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X and Y Communications headquarters, you're listening to the world famous Mountaintop Podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Hey, all right. Welcome to another episode of the world famous Mountaintop Podcast. My name is Scott McKay, at Scott McKay on Twitter, Real Scott McKay on Instagram, Scott McKay on YouTube. The web address, as always, is mountaintoppodcast.com. And listen, gentlemen, if you're not in on the Mountaintop Summit Facebook group yet, you should be, because there are a lot of interesting life building conversations going down there. So join us on Facebook. Joining me today as my guest is a new friend of mine. We got a lot in common. We've enjoyed chit chatting prior to clicking the record button here on this show. His name is Josh Burnett. He's originally from Va Beach, Virginia, Virginia Beach, Virginia, and he is now living in Little Rock, Arkansas. And among other interesting things he does, he is a Chick-fil-A franchisee. Gotta love that. But the reason why we're all gathered here today is in honor of Josh Burnett's book called Adulting 101, hashtag wisdom for life. So without anything further, Josh, welcome, man.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Hey, you know what? It's my pleasure, because this is really a crucial topic. And the first thing I want to hit with a big heavy hammer is this. Isn't it amazing how many guys never even freaking grow up? They grow older. They turn 30, they turn 35, 40, or dare I say even 50, and they still act like little boys. What's up with that, Josh?
Man, it breaks my heart. I've witnessed so many folks even come through my organization, and while they have aged, they have not matured. And so you're talking to this 22 or 25-year-old, but they're still rationalizing things like a small child. And it's like, all right, what was the miss along the journey that has caused that to take place? And the hope was that Adulting 101 could help stand in the gap and kind of help shore up some of those responsibilities and tasks of adulthood.
Well, I'll tell you what, 2025, I see it 45, 50. As a matter of fact, when Facebook came out about a dozen years ago,
obviously I was able to suddenly reconnect with people I hadn't seen for 20 years in high school. You know, obviously I'm aging myself here. But the truth of the matter is there were two kinds of people I reconnected with. First of all, there were people who grew up, made something of themselves, talked with a little bit more genteel of a voice, had slowed down, smelled the roses, figured out how to reflect maturity. And other guys, Josh, and even women, you know, girls I'd known from high school and college, people I had known from the past, even outside of school, even in previous careers, they were still exactly the same as they were in 1990 or 1985. They had not grown up at all. And I started trying to deconstruct what the patterns were there, and I really couldn't come up with any other than I think some people choose a career path that doesn't require they grow up. They're just doing something rote every day or something that kind of rewards them for still being childish, if that makes any sense at all. Meanwhile, those people who are forced into adulting, as you would term it, seem to be the people who succeed at being more mature and being an adult later. But then again, I don't know. I'm going to let you riff on that because it probably also has a lot to do with who's around you. You know, they say you become like the people you hang out with. Lots of factors there, I guess, right?
I think there's so many components that go into this. Everything from your childhood to your friend group to responsibilities that you have. But I think one of the biggest factors that I see is, do people have a vision for their future and what could be? And so I see a great deal of maturing when somebody moves past this pay the rent mode of living life into, what do I want my life to look like? And they go from being just passive in their own life into being, hey, I want to push this thing forward and I want to make a difference. And really that bigger picture of who they want to become gets them out of the mindset of, I'm just living to pay the rent this week.
You know, one of the things I've been talking about in the Facebook group lately, and we'll be elaborating on it more, is this idea that Henry David Thoreau made famous, that most men lead lives of quiet desperation. And that actually came up on this podcast also several episodes ago. And what I've been doing is deconstructing the attitudes and the traits that cause men to lead lives of quiet desperation. And I'll tell you, you just hit on a bunch of them. Lack of ambition, lack of meaning, kind of like, yeah, you know what? I'll just pay the rent. I'll go to work, wake up tomorrow and do the same exact thing I did yesterday. So not only does your career not move forward, your maturity level doesn't move forward. Your relationships don't move forward. Your, wait for it, abilities with women do not evolve. You stay basically a child, a Neanderthal amongst more evolved human adults. And I'll tell you, Josh, I don't understand why a guy would be comfortable with that feeling unless there is this apathy associated with it. Because notwithstanding that total apathy, it just leads to frustration and bitterness, and it becomes kind of a spiral, doesn't it?
It does. And I think the biggest component of this is, if somebody can get to the point where they realize that their life isn't truly just about them, I think at that point they step outside of themselves and they get a chance to see that bigger picture, right? So if you can realize that you are having a material impact in the lives that you're around, whether or not you are doing it intentionally, and you start to focus and engage and care for other people intentionally, I think that's where you really start to see people get a bigger picture for who they are, the difference that they can make, and really wanting to start make something of themselves is when they realize that their life isn't just about their own happiness.
That is an extremely profound point, and dare I say a mature one, Mr. Josh Burnett. Sounds to me like you're walking the talk already, which is obviously great. Anytime an author comes and visits us on this show, for them to actually be living what they're talking about and teaching is always a nice touch. But yeah, when you believe there's something bigger than you, whether that's a cornerstone belief system or any kind of purpose, anything that drives you from within to make people around you stronger, to make them feel cooler, to leave the world better than you found it, to have a legacy, which we talked about on this show before, you know, all of that makes you look, seem, sound, and act more like an adult, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think that so many folks that I work with and engage with and care for are really solely focused on this idea of happiness. I think it's this idea of success. if only I do X, then I'll be happy. And so many of the decisions that are made, the filter, the grid that they're thought through is, how do I get to be happy at the end of this? And really what I hope to be able to help folks with, whether it's at my restaurant or through the book or whatever it is there is a deeper and better version of this filter than happiness and its fulfillment. What does being a healthy, fulfilled adult truly look like? And taking it a step beyond happiness, because health and fulfillment doesn't always mean that you're happy. But I know myself in my early 20s, I mean, most every decision was made around this idea of, how do I get to be happy at the end of this? So if you can start to move your mindset away from just that as the sole filter, I think you have a chance to live a more fulfilled, larger perspective life.
Well, to me, when I think of the difference between happiness and fulfillment, the first thing that comes to mind, and thank you for bringing that up, by the way, because it's really thought-provoking. But indeed, the thought that was provoked is, happiness is feeling. How do I feel?
Absolutely.
And fulfillment is meaning. Did this have purpose? Am I doing what I should be doing? Am I doing what I'm called to be doing? Am I on the right track there?
Absolutely.
So what else would you add to that definition of fulfillment, or perhaps that differentiation between fulfillment and mere happiness, or maybe even other states that would be more childish as opposed to manly?
So I think that the childish thought is pursuing happiness as the finish line. So for me, it was this idea of, hey, if I get the right grades in high school, then happiness is getting into the right college. The right grades in college, you are then happy and you get the right job, the right girl, the right geographical home, so on and so forth. And each of these were driven by this imaginary finish line of happiness. And I think one of the biggest things that men can learn is, first off, how to fail well and how to wrestle with circumstances when they don't work out the way you expect them to. And realizing that life isn't really about setting forth a plan and just executing it, but really living out a purpose. What is the purpose for my life instead of what is the plan for my life?
You know, one of the things that I think is really interesting about what you just said is people start running after. People kind of, in a knee-jerk response, say to themselves, all right, well, I got to go to the right college. Then I got to marry the right woman. Then I have to have the right job. Then comes the right house. Then comes the right car. And the ironic truth that underscores every thought about what they say they want is usually that was fed to them by someone else, either society or their own parents or their peers in college. Like, hey, here's what success looks like. So here's what you should go do.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Because when you start looking outside yourself and saying, okay, what is it that really drives me? What are my passions? What is my purpose? What am I here to do? What am I best at? What am I uniquely able to provide to this world? Sometimes, and I would dare say most of the times, that's going to take you away from the beaten path of quote unquote the American dream in terms of something materialistic or something that is climbing a corporate ladder where you're still working for someone else. You know, does all that resonate with you? I'm sure it does. You're an entrepreneur, right?
It really does. Just living out of your unique ability. And I think that the first element of that is understanding and knowing yourself. So I have a great life coach that really helps me think through a lot of these bigger questions in life. But the first element is to know yourself. And the second one is to lead yourself. And if you can have strong self-awareness, I mean, it helps with relationships. It helps with knowing and leading other people. There's so much that's foundational and core to this, how do I know myself better element.
Well, a real man knows who the hell he is. Because
Absolutely.
If you don't know who the hell you are, don't expect a woman to feel comfortable with who the hell you are either. If she doesn't know when to duck and doesn't understand you and can't get you because you don't even get you, right?
It all builds. If you don't know yourself, you can't lead yourself. If you cannot lead yourself, you cannot know other people. And if you can't know other people, then you cannot lead other people. So whether that's a relationship, a business, a friendship, whatever it might look like, you really need to take those steps in order effectively. And really what we see is, for a lot of the folks that I work with, they have been given a poor picture of what adult life looks like. And if you think about the word adulting in pop culture, it has such a negative connotation. But I really think it's because it's been built on this idea that it is negative, and it's people that don't understand who they are and they're not self-aware, and so they can't see a bigger picture for who they can be and living out of that unique ability.
You know, that's so true. You get birthday cards when you're 30 that say, game over, life's done, no more fun. You know, life is just beginning if you're looking at it from this opposite adult perspective of now I get to go earn more. I get to go accomplish more. I get to go have more meaning now that I'm not a little child anymore. Yet people really are scared of growing up. There's this like Peter Pan complex. Well, it's not like one. It's called a Peter Pan complex, right? Where, hey, life is safer, more fun. Maybe I can live with mommy and daddy indefinitely and just stay in Peter Pan mode and not have any real responsibility. But the problem is the easy button is the empty button. There's nothing really driving fulfillment. There's nothing that's causing you to wake up in the morning and say, man, I feel alive because of what I'm doing here. It's just more of the same day after day. It feels so safe, and safe just robs the life from your very being, doesn't it?
It does. It feels like you're in that hamster wheel just going in circles, and you really are just living to pay the rent. And that's why people love their weekends. They have to survive the week to get to the weekends. And if that's the mentality, then it's such a sad existence.
Yeah, so true. So what are some of the tips that you give young guys to help them feel more like adults more quickly? Or maybe I should just couch that entire question with, what do you do to motivate these guys to even want to feel like adults at an early age? Or should they?
Great questions. So I think there's two elements to this. So it's who an adult is, and then there's what an adult does. The first book that we had come out, Adulting 101, Wisdom for Life, we really talked a lot about the hard skills of what an adult does. So that book is going to be chock full of information around how to interview effectively, how to save or invest money, how to purchase a car, time management. It's going to be really these tactical day-to-day things that immediately will reap some benefit. But what we're really working through right now is, what is this idea and how do we set forth a clear expectation of adulthood? And so those are the conversations that I'm engaging with and having with folks. And again, I work with about 100 people at my one restaurant. And what I'm noticing is that so few of them have a clear picture of healthy adulthood. And if we can set that expectation on the very front end of this, and there can be a clear picture, then we can provide skills and resources and all these other things after the fact. And a clear expectation for an adult is that whole knowing yourself, leading yourself, knowing others, leading others.
You know, one of the words you just dropped was tactical. And immediately what triggered in my imagination was that youth, inexperience, being a child, being young is tactical. And what happens when you mature and become more responsible is you think more strategically. You think about the future more instead of just living for today. YOLO, like it's some kind of virtue. And you know, stewing about the future, worrying is probably useless, is probably not necessarily so good. It's been said that worry is the world's most useless emotion. And I can relate to that. I can resonate with that a bit. Yet someone's got to tap the brakes on party mode sometimes and say, okay, we got to get down to business here. We got to plan for the future. To quote one of my mentors, Harvey McKay, you've got to dig your well before you're thirsty. And here's the sober truth. Ready for this, Josh?
Hit me.
For every guy who is not an adult yet, still living at home with his mommy and daddy, there has to be a mommy and daddy who's strategically paying the bills and putting that roof over the head. You know, you simply can't live without responsibility, without that strategic mindset, and expect to go anywhere other than out into the street long term. So sometimes I think people get dragged into adulting kicking and screaming, don't they?
I think so. And I think there's really two big things that cause a change. One is trauma, or the other is truth. So if you're going to have anything in your life shift, it's going to be because one of those two things happened. And so if you're living life and nothing bad is happening and nobody is speaking truth into that, what need is there to change? And a lot of times that is what I'll see, or working with young college students, and somebody just needs to speak truth into their life and say, hey, you were made for more. There's more to this life than what you're living for right now. And hopefully that resonates with them.
You know, yeah, sometimes you got to have your cheese moved big time before yep. You realize, hey, I just hit rock bottom and something's got to give. It can only go up from here. You know, you should write a book, Josh, called somebody moved my chicken.
There we go. I can definitely do that.
Yeah, that would be a real good Chick-fil-A story. But, you know, there's the other thing that you talked about, which is truth. And I think for a lot of guys, that comes from some kind of altar call, come to Jesus experience, either literally or figuratively. As a man of faith yourself, I think you understand that. But for other guys, the truth comes in a more visceral, temporal way. Like, look, you suck at your job. Every time you keep trying to jam this square peg into the round hole that you're trying to call a career, you need to find what you're really better at or called to by doing an Enneagram test or something. But the cold, harsh reality is you're not cut out for this. And your friends aren't going to tell you that. I mean, you know, the low-hanging fruit example is the guy who always thought he was going to be a baseball player or an NBA player and ends up washing dishes and has nowhere else to go, but ends up doing, you know, a minimum wage job that he never imagined himself doing and doesn't know the way out. I mean, something's got to give there. And I'm guessing the next thing that's going to come out of your mouth is the need for mentors, people who are already adults, to challenge the young guys who maybe don't even know how to adult yet to get to the next level, because it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing.
So you need to have a friend group of people that you want to be more like. They say that you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And if they are just like you in your existing state and not calling you to something bigger or better, then perhaps it's time to reevaluate the people that you hang out with all the time. And then to your point, the other element of this is if you want to start moving forward, you got to find people that are already ahead and sit down with them, engage with them, have this idea of a constellation of mentors. It doesn't have to be one person. It doesn't have to be somebody that's older, just somebody that's a little further ahead in what you want to be doing or how you want to become, and engage with them effectively.
As General Norman Schwarzkopf once said, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room, right? There's a lot of wisdom in that.
There is.
So what ultimately inspired you to write this book and get this message out to as many guys as possible, Josh?
So I care deeply about the people that I have a chance to live every day of my life alongside of, people that work in the restaurant with me. And over the years of doing this, have just built some great relationships. But what I've noticed along that journey is that a lot of these folks were not receiving some of these adulting messages or ideas at home. And then they were going out and making poor decisions, a lot of them around finances. And so we started with, hey, there's this car talk. Before somebody goes out and buys a car, you come and you talk with me and we kind of work through what that looks like. Well, the car talk evolved into the apartment talk that evolved into all kinds of other things. And really, I found myself mentoring adulting skills, and a lot of it felt like it was on repeat. And so I reached out to a mentor of mine, a man that taught me a lot of this content while I was in college, and said, I think there's a market for this on a bigger scale. Would you be interested in writing this book? And the original intent was truly for the Chick-fil-A team members that I get a chance to work with to help progress them in their life as they leave my organization. I want them to look back and say, man, I learned and loved the stuff that I had a chance to do while I was at that location. And I want them to leave as a better person than when they started. And so this is one of the elements that we try to do that with. Every new hire that comes on board, we give them a book. We say, you are cared for. This book was written for you. And when you leave us one day, and we know you will, we want you to leave as a healthier, more mature adult.
Now, that is an incredible gift to everybody who comes and works in your organization. And I'm wondering, you know, in the back of my mind, how many kids hear that message, get the book when they first start on with you, and just roll their eyes and go, you know, I'm just in school. I'm here to make some extra money so I can go clothes shopping on the weekends or buy a new skateboard or something. This is all I need. But yeah, you know, thanks. I'm sure they kind of humor you and give you lip service. But when you check in with those kids 5 years later, I would imagine there is a very strong correlation between that mentorship you gave them directly and what they're doing with their lives.
Absolutely. And I think a big piece of it is walking the talk. So then after that happens, that initial thought, I mean, I could just disappear from their lives altogether. But I get the chance and privilege to work alongside of them and get to know their story and who they are throughout the time that they're with our brand. And as I have the chance, I try to earn the right to be heard. And I think the book matters more later on than out of the gate, because they have a chance to say, oh, this guy actually does care about me. And this leadership team does care about who I am as a person. It wasn't just something nice they did for me during orientation.
You know, that kind of harks back to what you were saying before about how we have to know ourselves and we have to know our purpose. You are married, and nowhere does a bright light get shown on the truth more than when you're a married man, and especially when you become a father. Okay. On your website, your bio talks about your lovely wife, and you have a son and a daughter. How did you come face to face with the need to ramp up your adulthood even more once you met your wife, and especially after you started fathering children with her?
Oh my goodness. I don't think there's anything in the world that shows you how selfish you really are, other than marriage and then becoming a parent.
Isn't that
goodness
true?
Gracious. It totally shifts the perspective, because I mean, so for me, I spent 24 years of my life being single, and I was really good at being single. And then overnight, it's suddenly like, you have to be this great husband, and you have to know how to be a husband. And I'm a month into this thing. I don't know what's happening or how to do that well. And you just really begin to realize how selfish you truly were prior to that time, and just continue to work through that selfishness.
You see, the solution to this is to marry a woman who wants exactly what you want.
Yes, that helps out enormously.
I'm joking. I'm halfway joking.
Alignment is crucial.
The more that alignment is there, the better. But truth be told, you know, my wife still would rather listen to Taylor Swift than AC/DC. So we have that stuff different. And she doesn't sit down and watch my NBA games with me. She'd rather go do something else. But, you know, in terms of being on the same page and liking a lot of the same food and your travel and how you spend money and, yes, how you parent, obviously the more you're on the same page with her, the more you can kind of be selfish together. But it's never going to match up completely, and there's always going to be some give and take, presumably because you like her and you like watching her giggle and be happy, and that's good for you too. But like I said, once those children are born, they will not be on the same page with you, because they're not on the same age with you. There are a whole lot of different priorities, some of them which have to be wrangled hardcore by real parenting. There is a difference in opinion. There is a battle of the wills, especially when those kids get old enough to talk around 3 years old and make decisions that aren't good decisions. Man, parental responsibility should make an adult out of everyone if marriage didn't, or even, you know, coupling and making babies. If that was done irresponsibly, well, yeah, I guess you get what you deserve out of that. Parenting, I mean, you know, some people get a dog first to kind of practice before they have kids. But wow, man, once you are happily married to the right woman and you learn that adulting lesson, that's only really the prerequisite course for the graduate degree in adulting, that is having babies.
Right? Absolutely, without a doubt. And if you're still living through the filter of my happiness being the most important decision component of anything, then kids are not for you.
Oh, you're a cruddy dad and you're a cruddy husband too.
Without a doubt. And really, before getting married, before having kids, you really have to put the filter of your own personal happiness being the only thing that you think through away, or else you're in for a very rude awakening or a very challenging marriage.
And that brings it full circle. It's all about fulfillment rather than happiness, right?
It is.
And I'll get guys who come to me, and women too, and they'll say, well, I don't want to be married and I don't want to have any kids. Well, we've talked about that ad nauseum on this show. Really, the right woman changes your perspective about marriage. And for many guys, I think the truth is, as harsh as it sounds, we really don't feel like being parents until we see that little baby's eyes when it's finally born and we're smitten and we're all in. It's just what I call God's dirty little trick all over again.
It transforms you, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh, I appreciate you, man. And I want to point these guys to your book, which is called Adulting 101, #WisdomForLife. You can go to mountaintoppodcast.com/adult. And if I have to spell adult for you, chances are you're probably not. It's like one of those acid tests in life, but A-D-U-L-T, of course. And when you get there, you'll find Josh's book on Amazon. I'll link that directly for you. And it's good stuff. Obviously, Josh is a guy who walks his talk and is mentoring lots of young people in his Chick-fil-A on a daily basis to be better men and women. And I will also put Adulting 101 in my Amazon influencer page right there at the top. So you can not only grab a copy of his book and maybe even put it on your Kindle immediately, right? But also check out books from other authors who have been on this show as well. Josh Burnett, author of Adulting 101, hashtag wisdom for life. Thank you so much for being a guest on this show. And I really appreciate your optimism. I love the attitude you have towards being adult. And frankly, as these guys will learn about more when we talk about it in the continuing conversation we've been having on the Mountaintop Summit Facebook group, that is one of the traits. That optimism is one of the traits that I think really makes us attractive to women. And hey, you know what? You brought it here and you showed it off, maybe without even knowing you did it. But thank you so much for that.
Thank you for the opportunity, Scott. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. And guys, go on over to www.mountaintoppodcast.com. Check out our new sponsors, who include Keyport and Hero Soap Company. And they're good folks. They're supporting the show. Also, be sure, if you haven't already, now is the time. Click that little red button. Talk to me for 25 minutes for free. A new feature is you'll be able to schedule that call on the fly. As soon as you sign up for it, have your schedule handy, because you'll be able to set aside time on my calendar immediately. That, along with lots of other goodies, are there for you at mountaintoppodcast.com. And until I talk to you again real soon, this is Scott McKay from X and Y Communications in San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.
The Mountaintop Podcast is produced by X and Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to visit www.mountaintoppodcast.com for show notes. And while you're there, sign up for the free X and Y Communications newsletter for men. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Mountaintop Podcast.